Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you probably know, Donald Trump has announced his vice presidential pick for the forthcoming US presidential elections. And J.D. Vance is an unusual choice for one reason. He has a beard. The last elected president or vice president was Benjamin Harrison in 1889. So is there somewhat of a degree of discrimination against bearded people? Keith Flett is founder and organizer of the Bearded Liberation Front. Afternoon, Keith.
Afternoon.
Have you noticed this discrimination, I suppose, against people in public life that tends to be less bearded ones?
Yeah, I mean, it goes, you know, you're right, of course, about the last US presidential candidate. And of course, in the UK, the last bearded prime minister goes back to 1902. So there has been this culture of men, clean-shaven men, and sometimes men with no hair on the top of their heads as well. So that certainly hair of any kind doesn't seem to have been terribly popular amongst senior politicians in many cases for a very long time indeed.
Okay, and why is that, do you think?
Well, I think we can look to the traditional prejudices. Of course, people think that people with beards are hiding something under their beard, therefore untrustworthy. People think that you know, they've got the remains of their breakfast in their beard or something like that. Maybe they have in a few cases. Also, I think that sometimes there's an association of a certain lifestyle with beard, whereas now these are all kind of stereotypes, obviously. And I think, you know, there's a converse stereotype. It's difficult to know with Vance because he's only had a beard for perhaps 3 or 4 years. He was clean-shaven when he wrote his hillbilly elegy book in 2015. So it's a fairly recent beard for him. But there is this kind of counter-prejudice, I suppose, of clean-shaven politicians in suits. And people think, well, they're just a kind of management consultants who are here to, you know, further their own careers. So there's a kind of counterbalance between some people seeing bearded politicians as being a bit not on the level, and lots of other people thinking, well, the clean-shaven ones aren't so good either. So, but what we're saying here, I think, above all that, is that image is very important in politics.
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently, I mean, it had been before the announcement took place. Some people doubted if Vance would get it because Trump himself apparently doesn't like beards, but he seems to have got over that.
No, well, he's got a long record of not liking beards. Though his son has had a beard for quite a while now, and I suppose
case in point,
see,
then.
Yeah, you can see with Trump because obviously his hair is quite a work of art, isn't it? Really, were he to have a beard, obviously if you grew it as naturally, it would be grey. That wouldn't look too good with the orange hair. So he'd have to dye the beard orange, and frankly, that would, even for Trump, that would look pretty odd.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah, there's a kind of a material reason why he doesn't have a beard, I think.
Yes,
because it would even for him, he would look a bit odd.
I suppose the last high profile politician I can think of who had a beard would have been Jeremy Corbyn. Now, is there that association in people's minds that men with beards are basically lefty, radical lunatics?
Well, clearly with Jeremy, that was the case with some. Others, I think, thought his beard was great, and that, you know, they thought his beard marked him out as being different, and therefore, you know, not the kind of run-of-the-mill politician. So again, it was split opinions there. But when you look to America, and this is the kind of interesting advance, of course, which, as you say, you tend to think, oh, well, maybe this is an image of sort of lefty people with beards. But in America, a lot of those people say on the 6th of January 2020, they were besieging the Washington. A lot of those have beards. And there's this kind of, you know, organic, wild man, patriot, whatever we want to call it, kind of thing in America. Often goes with, you know, wielding large guns and things like that. So it's a very different kind of culture. We don't have that, I think, much over here. It may be that Vance is appealing a little bit to that kind of constituency.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, though, at the same time, in the American context, you'll have your bearded hipster who lives in Brooklyn and drinks craft beer, and they probably wouldn't be on that side of the street politically?
No, I think probably most unlikely.
Yes, I would have thought so. And is there an actual, there is a word, is there, pagonophobia? Is that a phobia of beards, or is it some form of discrimination?
It is, pagonophobia, which comes from the Greek. It's a fear of hair in general, but particularly facial hair. So beards would come into it, but people with sort of big hairdos probably would set them off as well. So, and there are people. I mean, it sounds kind of a joke, but I've actually come across once or twice people that it is actually a genuine sort of illness, I think, really. People just for example, fear of spiders or fear of claustrophobia, whatever it is. I mean, these are genuine things to people, aren't they? And I think there are small numbers who genuinely do feel that something that just, they can't cope with a beard.
Yeah. Now, and would it be fair to say as well that, say, in the history of the Labour Party, that prior to the dawn of New Labour and Tony Blair and all that, beards were more common, but when New Labour came along, they almost purposefully made a decision to get rid of bearded candidates?
Well, they did in a way. Blair was not keen on beards. He's never had a beard. But he did have sort of bearded people in his cabinet. He had Robin Cook, he had Frank Dobson, he had David Blunkett, and so on. So he was a sort of a little bit more of a, live and let live. I mean, when it comes to the current person, Mr. Starmer, or Sir Keir, as we should call him, he is a great fan of hairdressers. You can check this, you Google it. I mean, his hair is a work of art. But he's never had a beard, despite the fact his father was a long-time beard wearer.
I read that in New Labour, they would show photographs of candidates with a beard and without a beard to focus groups to see were they more acceptable.
They did. That people think that was a joke, but it was true. They did actually do that. They did it for Frank Dobson in the London mayoral election in 2000. But Frank, being Frank, the bluff Yorkshireman, just told them where to stick it and kept his beard and lost.
Yes. Okay, that's the spirit. There are beard wearer of the year awards. And I was also interested to read, there's a beard friendly pub of the year. Are there pubs there that won't let you in if you have a beard?
No, I mean, the beard-friendly pub thing is really about pubs that have a sort of welcoming ambience to all, including beard wearers. So it goes back to what we were talking about in terms of prejudice, that people with beards might look a bit dodgy. But there are those. There's some in London. There are one or two. I'm in Cardiff today, but I live in North London when I'm not in Cardiff. And there are pubs in North London where you go in and you think, well, there's hardly anybody in here. It's not got a beard. Hackney, it's that kind of thing. But that's a fairly light-hearted thing. But it is really meant to be about people just being able to dress and appear as they would like. So if they want to have a beard, fine. If they want to have a beard, that's also fine, without anybody commenting one way or the other.
Now, but though just today, one of Britain's most prominent, or England's most prominent beard wearers, Gareth Southgate, fell on his sword. Do you think that beard had something to do with that decision? Because people, let's face it, no one trusted him from the start.
He did get a bit of criticism for the beard, but I think, again, he only grew a beard in 2015, just before he became England manager. So maybe there's some link there. But he's the most successful England football manager ever. So there might be, if we were to look at conversely, you might say, well, the beard has helped him. But anyway, he'll be joining the Beard Hall of Fame, which is reserved for those whose beard has had an impact in public life recently. I think there are people that don't like his beard and think it was all to do with the image again. And the same with the England captain, Harry Kane. I mean, they were both getting it for having beards. And it is true again that at the minute, well, it's in the balance, frankly. I mean, there are more footballing beards than there used to be. we need only think of Roy Keane, to be quite honest, whose beard disappeared during the Euros, I noticed. On Sunday, a slight comeback was being made. He got to the stubble stage. But yeah, Roy Keane is a fascinating study in beard wearing and not beard wearing. It comes and goes, and
but he does kind of angry beard. There's something kind of scary about his beard. It's not a Santa beard.
No. It's image, isn't it? The image is striking when you see him with his full beard, isn't it? Mm. You couldn't mistake his presence. Couldn't not look at him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably what it's about, really, yeah.
Indeed. Keith, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Keith Flett there, our founder and organiser of the Bearded Liberation Front. The fight goes on.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.